Good morning, everyone. Our lesson this morning is subtitled Love, and it's taken from the book of Romans, chapter 12, from verse 9 to 21. Sorry. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This is the word of God. Amen.
Morning, everybody. Well, what an exciting morning already. What I was asked to speak about was fellowship. We're looking at the standards and the elements of what it means to be part of this church. And there's been a series, and I'm sort of slotting in, as it were, and my remit was fellowship. Now, I don't know, I wonder what springs to mind when you hear the word fellowship. It's one of those churchy words, isn't it? And we sometimes, I think, interpret it as the church family doing jolly things together, which usually involves a cup of tea and being nice to people. Yeah, I mean, that's we will enjoy fellowship around a cup of tea on Thursday. And yet in Scripture we find that fellowship is so much deeper, so much more challenging than just being nice to one another. See, you can be nice to your in-laws if you really have to, can't you? You can be nice to your friends because they are your friends. You can also, if you really sort of pump yourself up, you can be nice to those you perhaps consider to be your enemies or people that don't like you very much. But fellowship is different. Fellowship, or koinonia in the Greek, describes a togetherness, a oneness with one another, which is akin to that enjoyed by the Trinity, the Godhead, in which Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are joined together in fellowship. Now put your head around that for a moment. We can't really imagine how that works, that depth of fellowship. A powerful example, perhaps, of what koinonia should look like, if you start studying that little phrase that we often find in the Bible, one another. There are lots of scriptures which have one another attached into them. We're to be devoted to one another. We're to honor one another. We're to live in harmony with one another. We're to accept one another. We're to admonish one another. Hey, that's a bit controversial. We're to serve one another in love. We're to be kind and compassionate to one another. To encourage one another through good deeds. We're to offer hospitality. We're to love one another. That's the true biblical description of koinonia. It was phrased in that sort of passage about love, because we really don't understand love until we start practicing it, and then we find how hard it is. Always putting the other person in front of your own preferences is hard. It's hard when we find that other people's preferences aren't the same as ours. Other people's standards aren't as high as ours. Other people don't see the world as we see it. And yet they are the one another that we're to love and to serve and to be hospitable to. In 1 John, we read this: our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie. We do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Now, we had a time this morning of ministry. We had a time when we acknowledged that all of us need to allow Jesus to reign in us. What does that mean? Jesus is the boss. Yeah? In every aspect of our life. Jesus is the boss of your money. He's the boss of your job. He's the boss of where you're living right now. He's the boss of your state in the world. Your standard, if you like. Where you see yourself in the world. There's a lot of stuff in media about image. Image seems to be everything. How do people see me? I never understood this likes thing. I don't belong Facebook. And my daughter tells me she's had so many likes this week. I think, what's that mean? You know, you've got a limit to how much you're being liked. But it's all about image, you see, how people see you or how you think people see you. And my wife will tell you, I don't care. It's not really about me. It's about Jesus within me. And if people like Jesus in me, hey, that's great. And I can't see that he's got any limitations. Now, this state of fellowship is one that we enter into when we become a company of believers together. And trust me, it requires that we work at it a bit. It doesn't just come automatically. We can't just turn up on a Sunday and claim we have fellowship with one another. Because we're sitting next to somebody who we like, or we're sitting next to somebody who we don't know. But we start, we pluck up the courage and we start talking to them. That's not fellowship, that's just getting to know them. We can't become a church member and claim to have fellowship with others. We can't find that we've automatically entered into a state of fellowship. Like all good marriages, we have to put some effort into it in order that we find ourselves walking in the light, as John puts it. Somebody earlier mentioned that it was important for us to realize that even when we play Scalextric or whatever, that is part of life, that is part of who we are, and it is part of what God is in our life. He is in every aspect of our life the boss. That means that sometimes we have to change our plans, because really they shouldn't be our plans. See where I'm coming from that? I'm sure that you have plans for this afternoon, some of you. Most of you probably. You've got some idea what you'll be doing. Supposing God turns up this morning and says, actually, I want you to do something different. What's your reaction going to be, really? Well, it's not very convenient, Lord. I've got other people relying on me. People are expecting me to turn up. People are expecting me to be doing this and be doing that. And God says, hold on, who's the boss here? It could be very inconvenient to allow Jesus to be Lord in our life. It really can. But if we're going to be walking in the light, as he is in the light, then we're going to be walking where he's walking, not where we want to be walking. In that passage of scripture that Jill read to us earlier, Paul gives us a bit of a clue of what kind of effort has to be made. He opens up by saying, love must be sincere. It's one thing to declare we love someone. It's an entirely different thing to practice it. There's many a young man and perhaps woman who declared undying love to their other half, only to find that love requires a good deal of sacrifice in order for it to be sincere. Right at the heart of the gospel is sacrifice. Jesus sacrificed himself for you. And then he said, I want you to sacrifice your time. I want you to sacrifice your money. I want you to sacrifice everything that you hold dear to me. And it doesn't come naturally and it doesn't come easily. And then we're opened up to this thing of fellowship, and Paul says, be devoted to one another, honor one another above yourselves. They are not high ideals, incidentally. They're the fundamental building blocks of fellowship together. We have to be joyful in hope. We have to be patient in affliction. And we have to be faithful in prayer. And we're expected to practice hospitality so we don't give up meeting with one another, as many have done. You can see how this word fellowship is becoming much nearer to describing the state of the Godhead, totally and utterly welded together in oneness and in subservience to one another. And that is a oneness that is greater than anything that can be found in mere earthly relationships. And it goes further than that. We're to bless those who curse us. We're to bless those who curse us, both outside and, I'm sorry to say, inside the church. There are those, you know, we just don't get on with. Well, we'd better start getting on with them, because we're going to be together for eternity. If we bless one another, we can't help but reap the benefit of that. I don't know about you, but I've got a whistling in my head. I'm not sure where it's coming from, but... The lights, oh, right, okay. I'm walking in the lights as we're getting the spinning the whites, yes. We are to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. That's easy, isn't it? Someone gets some good news and they come and tell you, and you can rejoice with them. We're to mourn with those who mourn. And that's where we begin to feel the pain of one another, the pain of being together. And we're not very easy, because we're British, we're not very good at sharing pain. How many times have you said this? Somebody's come to you and said, how are you feeling? Oh, I'm fine. I'm okay. I do it all the time. You're a very caring bunch, and everyone says to me, how's the eye? How's the leg? Or whatever. Oh, yeah, it's fine, you know. Are we sharing that pain in such a way that we are indeed one? See, fellowship, true fellowship, can only be found when we are totally and utterly drenched in the power of the Spirit. We see the grace of God helps us through the difficult bits. We're not expected to be perfect. None of us is perfect. And that perfection that we see in the Godhead is where we're aiming, not where we are at the moment. In some respects, we meet together as the church of God, and when we do so, we are, or at least we should be in some respects, saying to one another, well, here we are, imperfect. Here we are as we are. And we come together because we want to be together, because we need the support and the love that can only come from other people who've been touched by God in that same way. You ever been to a strange church, and as soon as you walk in, you know that you are at one with the people there. Doesn't matter whether it's in this country or abroad. You know. You go to a strange club of some sort, and it's not the same. It doesn't feel right. You don't know anybody, and you feel awkward, and you just can't join. But because we are in Christ, we are together in Christ, we are in fellowship with one another immediately. And when we talk to one another in that way, we're saying, forgive us when we don't get it right, even as we forgive you when you don't get it right. So as we are forgiving one another, let's join together in this endeavor to try and do better as we stumble along together trying to find the way. In Paul's letter to the Roman church, he's been urging that fellowship to consider themselves as living sacrifices. I think that was Pastor Simon's subject last week. No doubt he expanded on that. Perhaps encouraged us to do the same. I was preaching elsewhere, so I hadn't heard him. But we can only do that when we do it together. We can only sacrifice together when we are as one. Now, we've had several messages from guest speakers over the past few months, reminders that we've been placed here in this location, in this particular time, for a specific purpose, yeah? And that purpose is to reach out to our neighborhood, yeah? We've been hearing that, haven't we? I don't think I've been hearing it myself. I'm sure it's come. Thank you. And if God's speaking through a variety of people and he's saying the same thing, don't you think by now he's saying, well, are you listening? What are you doing with it? How are you going to manifest this? See, we know it's true because that was the purpose for which this church was built in the first place. And you know, God doesn't change his mind just because circumstances on earth change. Indeed, he knew those circumstances from the beginning anyway. And he's placed you in here now for that purpose. And we're engaged, and we are to be engaged with the world around us. We are to be like beams or beacons of light shining into the lives of the people who we meet. We're to be people of light, walking in the light, not on our own. There's a fellowship acting and moving together with one purpose. And that purpose is to reach out with the love of God. I believe we responded to that call in various ways, whether it's to the schools, whether it's to the fellowship, the people around us, drawing them in, acting as friends to them. It's always frustrating because it doesn't quite happen enough for us. But we've tried. And I believe that God would want us to be more engaged both with him and with one another today. I believe that what we've started this morning, putting Christ on the throne, as it were, in our lives. And it's really good that John was able to say, we're going to change all this. Okay, good. That's what God, I think, wants to do to us. Now, I want to indulge again, if I may. Old men are supposed to dream dreams. Young men are supposed to have visions. I'm still trying to work out whether what I had was a dream or a vision. I think I'm a sort of middle-aged, in God's eyes, I think I'm a sort of middle-aged person who gets stuff from God in various ways. And this has come to me several times as I've been sort of thinking about this, praying about it, preparing it. And then suddenly God in the middle of the night comes and gives you something and you think, oh, all right then. So I take note of it. And then when it comes again, I think, all right, I am being slow and I understand what you're saying, Lord. And I have this vision, I'll call it a vision, of this church joined together in an act of submission to God's power. And when John ministry was going on this morning, I thought, is this it? Is this what you want me to do? And he said, no, I want a bit more than that. And, okay. Now, we're quite used to joining hands and blessing one another with the words of the grace. So I'm not asking you to do something you're not used to doing. However, I don't want you to join hands and bless one another with the grace, because I believe that God wants to give you a blessing this morning. And he wants to give you a blessing for a purpose. We very often receive a blessing from God, and it's for ourselves, and it's for our indulgence, if you like, and for our blessing, because hey, it makes us feel good, because we know God's there, because it's helpful to us. But I want us to receive that blessing this morning as a conduit, as it were, to go out into our community. I want us to join in fellowship with the Godhead and use that engagement to reach out to our town. There's no other point in being in that close fellowship with God unless we are being used to reach out to the town. I said to the Lord, do you want this for the town? Do you want it for our area around here? Do you want it for the world? And he said, don't be silly. You're only Brixton. So let's do Exmouth together for a start, shall us? Okay. Now, I wonder if you'd like to stand if you can. If you're not able to, then that's fine. We could do it sitting down. I just think that it's easier, you know. Viv, could I ask you to come and help us in this? I want you to join hands with, perhaps with the people you would normally join hands with in this. And then I want you to shut your eyes. That may be something you don't normally do, but I want you to be involved with God and not with each other. The linking of the hands is really just to remind you that you're part of this community together, okay? And then, as you've got your eyes closed, I want you to use your imaginations. Maybe you're not an imaginative person normally, so I'll sort of spell it out so it's fairly simple for you. I want you to imagine that the roof of this building has suddenly opened up. Can you see that? Feel that? You won't hear it, but you can see it. And God, in his sovereign power, yeah, carry on, is pouring out his spirit upon this church. There's no roof to get in the way, so it's just going to pour. It's just going to pour down. Now, a word of caution here, it's not for your blessing, remember, it's for the fellowship to begin to reach out to our surrounding area. It's not for our indulgence, it is for the town of Exmouth. You know, Ezekiel was given a wonderful vision of the river flowing out of the temple of God. And as it flowed out, it increased. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the power of God pouring down here and not stopping here? It's going out through the front door. Can you see that? Can you feel that? It's going out through the front door. It's flooding over the pub across the road. It's flooding over the shops across the road. It's flooding all over the bungalows and the houses in this area. Can you imagine the people inside being surprised? What's going on? See, we're just conduits. God's power pouring out from this place out into the kingdom. We've been told on more than one occasion, this is a beacon, this is a light on the hill. And then the power of God is flowing out from this place all over it. Can you imagine that? Can you see that happening? Can you feel it? Because that river is not abating. It's increasing. It flows down the hill, floods the town itself, the pubs, the clubs, the houses, the people of the town. Can you see that? Can you feel it? Can you imagine that? The power of God pouring, filling, overwhelming. That flood is the love of God for this town of Exmouth, because God loves this town. It's the love of God for this church being used as a conduit for Exmouth. As we feel that power, as we imagine that flow, we're experiencing the love of God. The love of God for each of you, joined in fellowship. Joined in fellowship with the Godhead itself. You begin to understand the heart of God for our town, for our nation. There are people who look at this place with disdain. There are people who look at this place probably almost with hatred in their heart. And God wants to change that. And there's nothing going to stop the love of God changing hearts, changing minds, changing perspectives. I don't know what God wants to do with this, but I just feel that he wants us to be involved in this beginning, if you like, because it won't stop when we stop here. It won't stop because we will be taking the flood of God out, because you and I are children of God. So whoever we meet this afternoon, wherever we go this afternoon, the power and the love of God will go with us. It will continue to pour out from us because we've tapped into the stream of God, the power of God, the love of God for our town. Are you submitted sufficiently to his will to allow that to happen? Is Jesus reigning in you right now? Because if he is, then you will see that your plans are being changed. Maybe you've got plans for next week. You have to change them. Maybe your diary will have to be thrown out the window, because God will have a different perspective, a different agenda for you, because you are now part of the flow of the love of God for this town, for these people. Our personal lives, our corporate life as a church together, is in complete fellowship with the Godhead, is in complete fellowship with one another. We are the children of God. We are the people who God wants to use to bring his glory to this town. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.